Three intersecting pieces still form a cube. There's just some excavated areas. But as the piece number gets higher, the graph's dimensionality has less to do with the number of pieces and more to do with the number of empty spaces. As an example, this puzzle has some cool behavior. If I expand it out entirely, notice that it has some overall superstructure, but also, in a small portion of the graph, the local behavior is quite nicely patterned as well. It's like a cute little local Euclidean manifold with two dimensions, 2 degrees of freedom. That's because on the puzzle, there are two holes allowing movement. One axis characterized by moving the top hole, one axis for the bottom. In the extreme case, it's not the pieces moving, but rather the empty spaces which define the degrees of freedom. So, somewhere between a full board and an empty one, we get complex structures of tangled intersections between pieces. Here's one of the puzzles we started with. Its superstructure is quite simple. Pause for a moment to think through what it might look like. You might be able to guess its form from the arrangement of the pieces. Ready? From this perspective, the puzzle is almost symmetrical. The key is recognizing that these two pieces stay latched in one of two spots. They can either be to the left of the vertical red bar, or they can be to the right of it. Only one can transition at a time. When the red bar is up, the orange block can transition. But when it's down, the green block can transition. This is the defining characteristic of the graph's superstructure. It's a square connecting four corners. We can color the nodes on the graph in correspondence with the position of the puzzle. Nodes in this half have the green block right of the bar, and nodes in this half have the orange block right of the bar. Let's take a tour around this graph. Now, from here, we can highlight all the solutions where the green block is by